All right, the time is here. I'm about to head to the airport, fly out to Vegas to see if the 49ers will exact vengeance on the Raiders tonight. Never forget 34-7, week two of the 2023 preseason. The end of the Trey Lance era in San Francisco. He was really bad in that game, and that led to the backup quarterback competition being sealed. Sam Darnold was the clear winner. The 49ers informed Lance shortly thereafter that Darnold had beaten him out for QB2. Lance did not practice anymore past that point, and the 49ers traded him to the Cowboys. So you could probably tell that I was smirking when I said remember 34-7. It's not that I actually think that a preseason game was significant. However, Raiders fans did believe that it was significant last year. Raiders fans were acting like they won the Super Bowl leaving Allegiant Stadium. I don't think that made 49ers fans very happy. It is the preseason. No, the result does not actually matter to the football teams, but I get that it matters to some fans. So we're having some fun with the headline. Will the 49ers exact vengeance for 34-7, the loss at Allegiant Stadium last year? Well, Brock Purdy and the 49ers starters, not all of them, obviously, because not all of them are available to play, but Brock Purdy and the starters who are available are expected to go for about a half tonight. Meanwhile, the Raiders will not be running their starters out there. Carter Bradley, the rookie quarterback out of South Alabama, who is the son of Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts and the former defensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks, who architected a lot of the scheme that the 49ers are now running, that Seattle-style defense. Carter Bradley, the backup, is going to be starting for the Raiders. They recently announced that Gardner Minshew had beaten out Aiden O'Connell. O'Connell was actually the QB for the Raiders last year in that 34-7 win over Trey Lance and the 49ers. So O'Connell is going to be the backup for Las Vegas, and we're going to get to see Carter Bradley with a cool connection. Carter Bradley went to South Alabama, where in 2022, he was actually college teammates with Darrell Luter Jr., that is 49ers cornerback Darrell Luter Jr., who's been having himself a nice July and now August, and should see plenty of playing time today. I'm not sure if he's going to overlap much with Carter Bradley, if the 49ers are going to go starters for a full half, but there is a chance that he'll get to pick off his former college teammate. The big question tonight is, how is the 49ers offense going to look without Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk, and Christian McCaffrey? Williams is obviously still holding out. Brandon Ayuk is still holding in. And Christian McCaffrey is coming back from the calf strain. I think he's essentially fully healthy. He's been cutting and running routes off on the side, but the 49ers have decided to take it easy and take it slow with him. So Christian is not playing in the preseason. But the 49ers offense, Brock Purdy led this unit to the number one overall ranking last season. They were the most efficient unit by a lot in the National Football League. A lot of people said, well, okay, it's because they've got so many weapons. Of course, like, the number one ranking by a mile was the totality of everything that the 49ers had. But there was debates about who was the driver of the 49ers' success. And I think these were ridiculously stupid debates, but the debates will persist. They continued last week. They're going to continue this week. They're going to continue into the regular season. I think that the main point is that Brock Purdy has to work without some of his best players this week, and he is going to have to try to find a rhythm in that scenario. And I think that Brock Purdy is fully capable of doing that. I don't think there's a single quarterback in league history that would be better without Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk, and Christian McCaffrey, though. It's just how football works. It's a team sport, and you try to load your team up with as many good weapons as possible, which is the center of every single salary discussion and every single debate about how to architect a team under the roof of the salary cap. So as a quarterback, you play the cards that you're dealt. And tonight, Brock Purdy, for about a half when he plays, is going to be dealt the cards of the 49ers offense without 71, without number 11, and without number 23. I think that the 49ers would definitely like to see some offensive rhythm from Purdy and a few more of the first team weapons, which they obviously didn't see last week. You always want a little bit of confidence, a little bit of wind at your sails entering the regular season. So the 49ers have their final chance to do that. Typically, they have treated this game, preseason week three, as the dress rehearsal. In a way, they're going to treat it that way tonight. They're going to play the starters, or they plan to, for about a half. So that's the same that we've seen in the past, although last year Purdy didn't get to play in the preseason because he was still coming back from the elbow surgery. But this is going to be like the standard dress rehearsal in as far as the amount of playing time that the ones are going to get. But it's not going to be like a standard dress rehearsal in as far as the amount of game planning and preparation that the 49ers have normally done, because they played last Sunday, and this is a quick turnaround to Friday. That means the 49ers essentially treated this past week as a glorified ending the training camp instead of a dress rehearsal week. So it's going to be a half and half thing, which puts even less emphasis on actual results this time, like scoreboard results. I mean, who cares who wins this football game? It's the preseason. You're still working on things. You haven't fully game planned for this game if you're the 49ers. So you're out there to knock off rust. If the 49ers leave this game healthy, and if they lead this game having knocked off some rest and built a little bit of confidence, they could win 30-0, or they could lose 34-7 again. There won't be much of a difference between those two. Fans are going to overreact to whatever happens. They're like, oh, Brock Purdy looks great without Williams, Ayuk, and Christian McCaffrey. Oh, Brock Purdy looked terrible today. They lost to the Raiders and Carter Bradley. Neither of those two things will actually matter. People who know football would laugh at the assumption that those things actually matter. So those of you who know the game, those of you who know that there could be some dry humor sometimes involved in headlines, hopefully you recognize that the 49ers exacting vengeance on the Raiders is a little bit of a joke on my part. I can't wait to read the comment section from people who don't actually watch the video to be like, what do you mean? Revenge against the Raiders. Like, what are you talking about? That didn't count last year, the 34-7. Well, I mean, it did count for somebody like Trey Lance. Obviously, he was off to Dallas within a few days after that game. But obviously, it did not count for the 49ers because they turned around after losing to the Raiders 34-7 and went all the way to the Super Bowl. And then they lost the Super Bowl in the same stadium that they're playing at tonight. I'm talking about the return to the crime scene of the Super Bowl tonight. Well, that's what the 49ers are going to do. I like Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I think that it's a fun place to watch a game, especially for the media, because the press box is one of the very few open air press boxes in the entire NFL. So you could feel the crowd. And I think, you know, it's a Niners Raiders game. This means something to people, especially in years where these two teams don't play in the regular season. That obviously isn't happening this season. So the fans are going to have to get their 49ers Raiders bragging rights fix through the preseason, which usually involves cheering on backup players to help either secure your bet on the stretch of the game or secure your bragging rights against your family or friends who may or may not be Raiders fans, or vice versa. If you're a Raiders fan watching this show, 49ers fans watching in that direction. We've had a good 24 hours, and this is part of the 49ers update. Remember the San Francisco Fire Department Station 13 video? They've got the Brock Purdy jersey up there now. There it is in Station 13 of the Fire Department, the one that got signed at training camp. I put out that viral video there. You could see it in prime position, back where the Cody Ross jersey used to be. They have to find a new spot for the Cody Ross jersey. But you see the rigs in the background, and then you see the Purdy jersey in the foreground here. Station 13, thank you for your service. God bless Brock Purdy. And then another part of this was Margo driving the fire truck definitely has to be featured on the channel. Shout out to Dwayne, though. That's Dwayne on the right, teaching Margo all about the Station 13 truck. And I don't know if we would trust her to actually turn on the engine. Normally I do all the driving, but this time she wanted to get up in there, so it was all good. You notice Station 13 in the background, they've got the Klay Thompson, Steph Curry poster way back there, but they've got number 13 jerseys of famous Bay Area athletes. So after the World Series parade in 2010, or during the World Series parade in 2010, Cody Ross actually swung by. He was number 13 for the Giants, and he signed the jersey, and it was in this spot. So ever since Purdy took over the 49ers and started starring for the team, Station 13 has wanted his jersey signed there, because they have a 13 random 49ers 13 jersey up on the wall. So they were able to get out to training camp about a week or two into camp this year. And Dwayne, who, again, is in this video, you'll see him on the right as soon as I pan over there. Dwayne was one of the two representatives from Station 13 that got out to 49ers training camp and was able to get the signed Brock Purdy jersey, which has now been framed, and it has been put up on the wall of Station 13. This is one of your ultimate San Francisco stations. It's right by the Transamerica Pyramid, centrally located. You could probably stop by, say hi to the guys. I don't want to flood them with too many people, but the Purdy jersey is up in there. So some cool stuff, just trying to give back to the community. And as always, we got a sandwich of the day. It's from Jumpstart Coffee. It's the Lombardi Special. Go see Peter at 24th and Guerrero. This is in a different part of San Francisco. It's going to be a croissant. It's going to be bacon, egg, and cheese. And then Peter gives it a little salt and pepper. But the breakfast sandwich on the croissant, I call that San Francisco style. Really, really good stuff. So you can go check that out over at Jumpstart Coffee. It was quality stuff. I liked it. I needed the fuel before heading off to the airport today. So back to the initial question. Will the 49ers exact vengeance on the Raiders tonight? And no, we're not talking about Brandon Ayuk on this show. You guys need to stop letting people jerk you around with your feelings. Like every single time that there is some kind of report that absolutely hasn't been verified, like zero verification at all. Like there's some kind of rumor floating around, like something crazy, like Ayuk to the Commanders. They're positioning themselves. Don't like let people start a show and then tune into it and act like it's a serious show. Like it's gotten completely ridiculous. We're on like day 32 of this Brandon Ayuk thing, and at one point there was a handshake and a hug that people reported as an imminent signing. And as soon as that wasn't an imminent signing, you probably should have backed off of the content, you know, and been like, there's a lot of people that are just putting stuff out there for clicks that don't really know what they're talking about. And that's kind of been my whole position on this throughout the whole time. We don't know. It's fluid. I think that's the one adjective to describe this situation. It's a fluid situation. Ayuk has an offer in front of him. He's not signing him. It takes two parties to tango in a situation like this. And if Brandon Ayuk doesn't want to sign the contract that the 49ers have offered, well, San Francisco doesn't have much budgetary wiggle room. I think they've already upped some guaranteed money, and they've already gotten to a point where this is their offer. And now Brandon Ayuk has to play ball with the 49ers. If and when he does that, nobody really knows, but we're not going to pretend like handshakes on the football field with John Lynch and hugs with Kyle Shanahan equate an actual signing. And we're also not going to sit around and entertain every single ridiculous trade rumor on the internet. We're going to talk about the 49ers and their ability to potentially exact vengeance against the Raiders tonight. I can open this up to a 49ers Q&A. We can talk about Dominic Pooney. I had the 49ers rookie breakdown the other day. And of course, we can take a look at the 49ers roster. This 53-man projection should crystallize after this football game. There are a lot of tough decisions on the cutdown that is looming for the 49ers. It's not going to happen until what, August 20, I think 26th or 27th, early next week, Monday or Tuesday, is when the 49ers have to cut down from 90 to 53. They're going to have two return from IR designations they'll almost certainly use. Candidates for those are Kalia Davis and Ambry Thomas, amongst maybe some other players that the 49ers might want to bring back, but they've been unequivocal in saying that they want Kalia Davis back this season. And I think Ambry Thomas, just given how important his position is, Ambry Thomas is playing at a cornerback spot where you don't want to mess with a Brian Allen type of situation where you're losing depth and having to go to random guys in the practice squad. So I would think that, yeah, Ambry hasn't been the most impressive corner for the 49ers, but they're going to still want him to insulate the depth at that position. 49ers Q&A is now officially open. Art says, preseason is about raising the floor. I can agree with that. But you can also raise the ceiling by developing guys, right? They get their game action. The whole thing is, but primarily for the veterans, yes, it is about raising the floor. Last week, Brock Purdy wanted to play. He wanted to knock off the rust. He wanted to get down snap timing with his center, Jake Brendel. He wanted to get hit. He wanted to feel what it was like to actually play quarterback. He didn't get to participate in the preseason last year, and Brock will be the first to tell you that he felt a little bit rusty to begin the season. I mean, he was still sensational to begin the season, numbers-wise, but he thought he could have been even better. So if Brock wants to play, then Brock plays. Like, he got his three series. He got his 10, 11 plays. That was the extent of the exposure that he was going to get in that preseason game for the 49ers, and that was that. They were happy with it. You know, a lot of fans sit there and they wring their hands like, oh, he shouldn't have been out there. It's like, guys, it's football. He's going to be out there 20 times, the 49ers hope, over the course of this season from the right, it's week one against the Jets until the Super Bowl. He's going to take a lot of hits over the course of the year. He better be ready to take some real hits when that starts. And you can get hurt at any single point of this journey. You got to strap it up and play football. Like, that's at the end of the day, it's as simple as that, which is why the starters that are available are going to be on the practice field today. And with Brock Purdy, they decided with a lot of input from him that he was going to be on the field last week. Did he knock off some of the rust he needed to? I would say so. The results weren't there, but again, you don't care about the results because it is the preseason. You care about the process right now too. As Art said, raise the floor during the preseason. Steve asks, who's behind Jake Brendel? Yes, Jake Brendel is the starting center. Behind him right now, I would say Nick Zekel would be the next man up for the 49ers. I could zoom in here to the center position. You know, somebody like Ben Bartsch can play center as well, but Chris Foerster has said that Bartsch is more comfortable at guard. Zekel is more comfortable at center. John Feliciano was an option there, but he underwent knee surgery. And that's another guy who's a candidate for the return to the roster from injured reserve. And they only have two of those spots that they can use as designations at the cutdown. They can obviously also cut a guy and then bring him back to open some room for carrying a guy on injured reserve. So they'll probably also find a way to allow John Feliciano to return not for the start of the regular season, but for whenever he is healthy. But for now, I'd say that Nick Zekel's the backup, and then they're developing Drake Nugent, who I think is going to be a practice squad guy for this football team. That's a good question from Steve. Has Braden Willis done a good enough job this preseason? I think so. I think Braden's going to be one of the 40. I think they're going to carry four tight ends. They always have. Although this year, everything's so crowded, I'm always wondering, when is the year going to come where the 49ers only carry three? But now, too, with the new kickoff rules, which, you know, it's a lot like this outside zone run play, a glorified outside zone run play, I think you're going to want as many tight end types as possible on the field for special teams. So I think that the 49ers aren't going to move away from carrying four tight ends on special teams, So Braden Willis is one of the three top guys, and then I'm wondering who the fourth guy is. Right now I've got Cam Latu in there because I actually think his blocking has been good for the 49ers. But you have Kittle, you have Saubert, and you have Braden Willis. They just brought back Logan Thomas yesterday. I would think that's, you know, he's such a project when it comes to blocking. I think they like him. I just think that they couldn't justify 2 weeks ago when they cut him the 90-man roster spot because they had to have guys filling in at other positions, but they were able to bring Logan back, and I think that paves the way for a practice squad spot this season. But we shall see. This is an area where I'm a little in the dark. I'm not fully sure what the 49ers are going to do at that fourth tight end spot. Will Floyd play tonight? Yeah, I think all the starters that are available are going to play tonight. And Leonard Floyd prides himself, maybe not Bosa, you know, maybe somebody like Bosa. But Bosa, you know what? He missed the entire preseason last year. And he said that in training camp, he didn't show up until right before they played the Steelers. There's a chance that Nick Bosa says, you know, I want to avoid the slow start from last year. Let me make sure that I am fully ready to go, have knocked off all the rust, throw me in there to begin this game. I think it's entirely possible that Nick Bosa insists that he plays in this game, but I would be almost sure that Leonard Floyd plays on the other side. Jameer says the Logan's better than Latu. Logan Thomas is a better receiver for sure. He caught 55 passes last year, but he's not a better blocker than Cam Latu. And often that fourth tight end spot's going to go to the blocking body, because that spot's probably not going to have many chances in the receiving game. So Logan Thomas had never played in a system like the 49ers system before. He had to learn how to block, and he still is learning how to block the way that Kyle Shanahan wants to play in that system. So it's been a work in progress. They haven't been shy about it. They even released him a couple weeks ago. The 49ers had so many injuries at that time that they probably just needed more bodies at other positions. So they needed to make roster room to make that happen. So Logan Thomas was the unfortunate victim of that need in that position. So now he's back. But I don't think that necessarily suggested that he was in position to make the 53-man roster. And I think they're going to take four tight ends. We can also talk about Jake Tonjes. We can also talk about Mason Plein, although I think Plein is most likely a practice squad guy. What happened to the jersey in the background? It's not a shirt. It's a jersey. I rotate what's up on the background, the 17. I'll put it up after I get back from Vegas. It's actually sitting right here. Can't reach it. I have another cool 94 49ers poster that has been up there occasionally. I like to mix it up. I thought that, we would have the coolest background on 49ers YouTube. And between our quarterback poster with Joe Montana and the monumental poster with the guys who won four Super Bowls, by the time that 1990 season hit, I think we got a pretty cool background right now. Danilo has a good question. I'm concerned on the lack of edge rushers the 49ers have. Thoughts? I think that's one of the bigger potential holes on this roster. And you could scroll down here. Edge rushers are going to be Bosa, Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, and then it drops off considerably as far as ability to number four. Robert Beal Jr. is maybe the 49ers' fourth edge rusher, and he hasn't been all too productive in preseason for San Francisco. Other options are the perennial practice squad guy, Alex Barrett, who's been one of their best performers in preseason. Jonathan Garvin, who's actually been good. I don't know if it's fresh legs or if he's been a real find and real discovery. If they think that Jonathan Garvin is better than Beal, maybe he makes the team. Sam O, who's been injured for a lot of training camp. Those are the options for the 49ers, and they definitely need a fourth guy there because that's the rotation. You have four DNs and at least four D tackles, maybe five D tackles, but I would say it's an eight-man rotation on most game days for the 49ers. That second defensive end spot right here on the second line, so the fourth defensive end spot, but line number two, defensive end number two, I think is one of the more glaring issues on this 49ers roster, so I think you're right. It's hard to find good edge rushers. It's hard to find good tackles, good edge rushers, good quarterbacks. It's one of those positions that is in short supply. So they're hoping they can develop Robert Beal with his size-speed combination, the 4.4 40, the 260-pound weight. Maybe he's not running as fast anymore since he added some weight. But I just haven't seen enough pass-rushing wins during the preseason from Robert Beal if I'm the 49ers to feel really great about his development. Is Isaac Garendo expected to play? Yes. And I'm going to go through the roster. We could talk about some guys who I think will be really interesting players to watch. I've mentioned it a little bit throughout this season. But let's start with the quarterback position. The battle's still going on. Last year, they had already determined the battle after the second game because Darnold won that clearly over Trey Lance. So now I don't think it's as clear. So we're going to get to see more of Dobbs and Brandon Allen, maybe some more of Tanner Mordecai in the second half. Mordecai can convince the 49ers possibly to carry four quarterbacks in the building, meaning one on the practice squad and maybe three on the 53-man roster. That's going to be a really, really interesting question because that obviously would take up another roster spot if the 49ers carried both Dobbs and Allen on the 53. Running back, guys are back and healthy, so we get our first look in the preseason at Isaac Garendo, as you asked. That's going to be fascinating to me. Thought that he had really fresh legs this week, so there might be a good chance that he looks good playing against some guys who don't have as a fresh legs in this game. Wide receiver Jacob Cowing has just exploded over the last couple weeks. He was great against the New Orleans Saints. So we're going to get to see some more of Jacob Cowing in this game. Obviously, no Ricky Pearsall. That is unfortunate for the 49ers, but they're trying not to rush Ricky Pearsall. Then you move into the tight end position. I think they still want to see more from Cam Latu. I've got him on the inside of the 53-man picture at the very moment, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm just trying to figure out what they do at that fourth tight end position. I want to see more of Mason Plyne and some of those young guys developing as well. Then you move to the offensive line, where Dominic Pooney has secured the right guard starting spot. We're going to be watching him really closely. Somebody like Jarrett Kingston's really interesting because it's really hard for me to figure out where exactly the 49ers will have room to carry Jarrett Kingston on the 53-man roster. And he's been really damn good so far. Now, he hasn't played against the first-teamers like Dominic Pooney, but he's only given up one pressure and 61 pass-blocking opportunities. And, I mean, this is a tremendously athletic player, really good short shuttle, fifth fastest short shuttle of all linemen in this past draft. Came out of USC, but learned before that was a good pass blocker at Washington State, where Mike Leach was just running pass plays all the time. Jarrett Kingston's development has been fantastic to study. Talk about Washington State running the ball 90% of the time. So you're in pass pro all the time. So Jarrett Kingston had to be in pass pro all the time with Washington State. Then he transferred to USC, where they ran the ball a little bit more. So he learned some zone blocking, all that good stuff with the Trojans. Now, as a sixth-round pick for the 49ers, you have a tremendously athletic player. Grew up in Northern California. Unfortunately, for 49ers fans, he's from near Redding. I think Anderson's name of the town. But he grew up a Rams fan, which doesn't make much sense to me, but he had some kind of explanation for it. But he grew up in Northern California. All his buddies are 49ers fans. Trying to make the team has really showed out, I think, but against some second- and third-string players over the first 2 weeks. Can he show enough here to say, hey, force his way onto the 53-man roster? My issue is that the 49ers are so crowded up front right now, which is a good problem to have. Like, I do think that they have some interesting depth along the offensive line. I think that the situation there has been turned on its head by somebody like Dominic Pooney and by Jarrett Kingston, who have both really, really add it to the robustness of the room as far as youth goes. But assuming that Trent Williams does come back and is no longer on the did not report list by the time of the 53-man cutdown, you've got Aaron Banks, who's going to come back from the broken pinky by the time the regular season starts. You obviously have Brendel. You obviously have Pooney. You have McKivitz. I think they like Jalen Moore the most at swing tackle. Now, you know, I don't have Parker or Hubbard making the team, and I've only seen Jalen Moore play at the left tackle side recently. I mean, I know he had some right tackle action earlier in his career, so I don't know if they go with somebody that's a little bit more versatile to be a swing tackle. Maybe Jalen Moore does end up getting cut, and that's why they've been cross-training Brandon Parker and Chris Hubbard at opposite sides. Parker's more comfortable at left tackle, and Hubbard's more comfortable at right tackle, but we've seen a lot of Parker at right tackle and Hubbard at left tackle. So maybe that's because they're trying to determine who's going to be the swing tackle that replaces Jalen Moore. The issue here that I have is in the past, they've typically only carried 8 offensive linemen. And the setup I have here is 9 offensive linemen. And Jalen Moore is way more comfortable on the left side than he is on the right. So maybe they pick, instead of Moore, they pick Parker or Hubbard, whoever's more comfortable being on both sides as a swing tackle. And then they try to practice squad, or they cut one of these interior linemen. Zakel has been playing at all kinds of different positions on the inside. So has Ben Barch. Burford was a starter last year. I think you obviously hold on to him, at least as depth. It's really hard for me to see who the 49ers don't carry here, assuming that Trent Williams does end his holdout and is back by the roster cutdown. So we shall see. I kept Nigel's question up there about Garendo. There's a question about Mustafa. Is he going to have packages week 1? I don't think so. I think first they have to cut down the roster. And then once you cut down the roster, you see where a Mustafa package might fit. And then you start integrating that over the course of the season. Unless he's the guy that they want to throw in there week 1 because Talanoa Hufanga is not fully ready, I don't think that's going to be the case. They signed Tracy Walker III, the veteran safety, for a reason. I think that's the help fill in for Talanoa Hufanga in case Hufanga is not ready to go week one. I think you go with a higher floor with the veteran in that instance if you're the 49ers. I see somebody talking about Brock Purdy. Somebody's talking about the Brock Purdy 10-yard split. Let me tell you what. I mean, everything I said about the Brock Purdy 10-yard split has been true, and it's been fleshed out to be true over time. I know that got a lot of national media coverage, but it's funny because it just shined a light on what people weren't talking about regarding Brock Purdy. He has a 1-5-5 10-yard split, which is like 95th percentile. They're, you know, his 10-yard split is as fast as almost every single quarterback in the NFL. And if there's anybody that's a little bit faster on the 10-yard split, they're not much faster than Brock Purdy. And we've seen that. We saw it play out over the course of all of last season, and then we saw it especially relevant in the NFC Championship game. Yep, Purdy's 10-yard split was faster than Christian McCaffrey's, which I think is one of the coolest stats that there is as far as showcasing how good Brock Purdy is in that close quarter 10-yard space, which has helped been an integral part of how elite of a mover he is. The movement from Brock Purdy, especially within the context of the pocket, is absolutely top-notch. 10-yard split, not 10-year split. 10-yard split, that means the split of his 40-yard dash, but over the first 10 seconds. Purdy ran a 1.55. His 40 was like 4.8. The two numbers don't go together. It doesn't make much sense. The way that I explain it is that he's got extremely powerful quads, a strong base. So he's explosive. It's violent and explosive on his first couple steps to get to those 10 yards. And then he slows down significantly because he's not lighter. It takes, you know, you have to have that right balance of size and strength to be a really fast sprinter over a longer period of time. But for all intents and purposes, it's the first 10 yards that really matters. I think there's a lot of people just have not been ready to hear the truth about Brock Purdy. And that's one thing that I noticed. I was correct about Brock Purdy every step of the way from the time that he was inserted as the starter to him being an MVP finalist last year to now. I think I'm right about Brock Purdy. It's not that hard to be right about Brock Purdy if you just look at what he's doing on the field. But people were not happy that I was correct about Brock Purdy every step of the way last year. And yes, that has generated national media attention, but I think that's great for Brock Purdy. It's probably great for the 49ers that the actual truth about how good Brock Purdy is getting out there. It might not be great for the 49ers. It's great for Purdy. But for the 49ers, they're going to have to pay the guy next year, and they're going to have to pay him top dollar. It is, yeah, faster 10-yard split than Christian McCaffrey. It's absolutely wild to think, but I think it's also a huge part of the reason that Brock Purdy is Brock Purdy. We were looking for the metrics. We're looking for the clues as to how he moves so damn well, how he's able to evade so much pressure. Well, the 10-yard split is one of the strongest clues. Now, I actually traveled to Ames, Iowa, which is the site of Iowa State where Brock Purdy played his college ball. And we talked about the 10-yard split, and we talked about what he was showcasing in college. And it was absolutely awesome to see that what he's been impressing with at a technical level in the NFL, he was already doing in college at Iowa State. Steve points out the knock on Purdy is that he can't escape and he can't throw long, both of which couldn't be further from the truth. He can escape, and he was the most accurate deep passer in NFL history last year, documented in NFL history. He's completing 60% of his passes on throws that traveled over 20 yards in the air. So he can absolutely do both of those. What game should the 49ers save Purdog for? Well, I'll tell you what, Purdog, which is the trick play where Deebo Samuel throws downfield to Brock Purdy. It's the name of the play. It's actually Purdog. It's going to be useful even if they don't use it. because Debo takes a lot of handoffs in the backfield. If it's in the defense's mind just for a second that Brock Purdy may split out for a deep pass pattern off of that play, that could slow the defense down. They're thinking twice. So the reason the 49ers put it on tape and then they were okay with word of the play getting out is because this could slow defenses down. And then once defenses stop caring about it, that's when you hit them with it. And I don't know when that's going to be, but it might be a little bit later in the season. Yeah, Garoppolo was really good. And, you know, Garoppolo was always statistically good for the 49ers. He's always an efficient quarterback and good quarterback when he was healthy. But he was only transcendent in 2017. That's when his numbers were absolute cream of the crop, top of the line, pay the man his money. That's what they did. I thought it was a fair contract for Garoppolo because not won a lot of guarantees past those first 2 years. So then it was a year-by-year option deal that the 49ers essentially picked up because Jimmy was their best option. But the ACL tear hurt his mobility, and he was never quite as good as he was in 2017. Even though he played good ball in 2019, he played good ball in 2021, and he played good ball in 2022 for the 49ers. It just never was 2017 caliber football. When is Greenlaw's return date to come back? I'm not sure yet. I think that's more probably a midseason thing. But he's out there on the field. He's been an active viewer of practice for the 49ers. Yeah, and he showed up in 2021 too, Jimmy Garoppolo did. In 2021, he was hurt for most of that season. And they didn't have a great defense in 2021. They turned it up toward the end, but the cornerback position ended up doing them in the NFC Championship game. And he was badly hurt with the thumb and the shoulder, and he was still gritting it out in the cold in Green Bay, led that game-winning drive. And Jimmy Garoppolo did a lot of good things for the 49ers, and the media treatment and the fan treatment of Jimmy Garoppolo is a good litmus test for people who know football and people who don't. Somebody who says that Jimmy Garoppolo was a bad quarterback for the 49ers is telling you that they don't know the sport. They don't know football. They don't understand the nuances. Somebody who says, okay, Jimmy Garoppolo was a good quarterback who had some flaws, who also got hurt a lot, and is able to recognize those nuances, that's an intelligent football observer. That's somebody who actually understands the game, who probably has connections inside football, who knows how things work at that quarterback position. He wasn't a perfect relationship. He wasn't a perfect quarterback. He had his struggles physically following the 2017 ACL tear, and then obviously suffered a ton of injuries, but he was a toughest ship for the 49ers over the years, playing through so many things. And he was the quarterback that the 49ers needed at that given time. They needed somebody with an extremely quick release to overcome a bad offensive line and pass protection. And they needed somebody to build a bridge while the team was building this stockpile of talent to the guy that would eventually become the ultimate quarterback of the future. And that would be Kyle Shanahan's handpicked QB. Shanahan thought that might be Trey Lance. That obviously didn't work out for the 49ers, but it ended up being Brock Purdy. And I think that it was beautifully poetic that Garoppolo was the QB that was in there that did build that bridge to Purdy in 2022. If Jimmy Garoppolo does not re-sign with the 49ers in 2022, Brock Purdy's career might not have started as well as it did. The fact that Brock got to sit on the bench and learn from a veteran QB who had been through a lot in the league and wasn't thrown to the wolves too soon. Brock got to work behind the scenes until week 13 against Miami. The fact that that happened, and that was thanks to Jimmy Garoppolo playing really good football after Trey Lance got hurt in 2022, is one of the more underrated developments of this whole Brock Purdy saga. And you could talk to Brock and he'll tell you the same thing. The same exact thing happened to Brock as a freshman in college. There was a guy named Kyle Kemp. I'll show you the picture of Kyle Kemp. A guy named Kyle Kemp was the veteran starting quarterback for Iowa State. There he is, number 17. He won some big games for Iowa State in previous years, kind of like Jimmy Garoppolo won some big games for the 49ers in previous years. And then Kyle Kemp got hurt in the 2018 season, was when Brock Purdy at left was the freshman. So Purdy took over the starting quarterback job for Iowa State later that year, there was a guy in between Kemp and Purdy that started a couple games. But then once Purdy took over, he never relinquished the job, similar to what happened at the NFL level. So it's fascinating that history does repeat itself. Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. Those of you who do want to read this article, I'm going to go ahead and put the link in the description. I'm going to send this over to Mike if he can do that. And you can subscribe and check it out. It's 3,000 words. I headed over to Ames, Iowa to write this piece for you. So anyway, tonight, will the 49ers exact vengeance on the Raiders? The guy up on your screen is starting for the 49ers. Why? By vengeance, I mean, well, they lost 34-7 last year. That was the end of the Trey Lance era. They traded him to the Cowboys a few days after. But Purdy this time is going to start, not Trey Lance. And the 49ers starters are expected to play about one half of football. How will the 49ers offense look without 71, 11, and 23? That's Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk, and Christian McCaffrey. To me, that's a key question. Again, I don't care about what the scoreboard says after this game. Some fans do because they want vengeance against the Raiders. Good for you if you want vengeance against the Raiders. I'm a neutral observer. I could care less, but I'll put it in the headline because it's important to some people. But if the 49ers can show some sense of cohesion and build some form of confidence and show some just competence, even without these three guys, I think it'll be a good day, provided that they're able to avoid injuries on the offensive front. So that to me is the big picture to look at in this game. We'll get to see the 49ers defense against Carter Bradley, the son of Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator of the Colts and the former DC over in Seattle, who helped architect a lot of the defense that ended up trickling down to the 49ers when they embraced the 4-3 cover three. And Carter Bradley, the rookie, went to South Alabama where he was teammates with Darrell Luter Jr. And, you know, speaking of Luter, speaking of the 49ers to watch, I went through about half the roster. We were done with the offense. Now we can move down to the defense. Who do we watch there? Somebody asked about Leonard Floyd. I think that Leonard Floyd is going to play in this game for the 49ers. Watch Yetur Gross-Matos. I think he's going to be a monster in the system this year. That'll be interesting. Then I want to see if Jonathan Garvin can keep up what he's doing. Alex Barrett deserves a lot of credit for being that unheralded guy on the practice squad. He's been tearing it up this preseason. If he keeps on performing today, hey, maybe we see Alex Barrett grab that fourth defensive end spot. I think that'd be a hell of a story for somebody who's been mainly on the practice squad since 2019. Final audition chance for guys like Tatum Bethune, Jalen Graham, some of these linebackers, Curtis Robinson, who's been playing well for the 49ers. They're loaded at that linebacker room. And then at DB, well, maybe we do get to see Darrell Luter Jr. pick off his former teammate from South Alabama, and that is Carter Bradley. That's going to be a fascinating little back and forth to me, a little subplot of the game today. Let me take you guys back to San Francisco Fire Department Station 13. They've got the Purdy jersey up, and it is signed. We swung by last night. They told me they had the beautiful framing for it done, so we swung by the fire department right by the Transamerica Pyramid to see it. I want to make sure people don't miss this part, and then Margo got to ride the fire truck. Shout out to Dwayne from Station 13. Shout out to Mario as well. Mario wasn't there last night, but Mario's the first guy I knew at this station, and then we were able to make sure that this happened. This was one of the cooler videos I was able to get, not this particular video, but when the guys and Dwayne were at practice, they got this signed by Brock Purdy, and it is now in the station. Really cool story. That is right by the Transamerica Pyramid in San Francisco. All right, I got a couple more questions to answer, and then we are going to call it a day. I kind of want to get to 500 on the stream. We're at 467 right now. We've been growing steadily over the course of 44 minutes. I have to head to the airport in a little bit to head to Vegas to go to the game. So why don't you guys toss in your last few questions, and then I'm going to go see if the 49ers will exact vengeance against the Raiders. What time do I head to Vegas? I fly out at 1 o'clock. So I got to head down to the airport very shortly. It's 11. I take Bart to the airport. I like to work on Bart. I think that I think it's better than getting in an Uber. The driverless cars don't take me down to the airport yet, so I can't do a show on the way. So I'm going to take BART down to the airport. It will take me right into the international terminal. And then I will probably have to go to terminal 2 or 3. Let's see where the flight's out of at SFO. They just finished the second half of terminal 1. They want me to, I have to check in for my flight back. That's great. That's how quick this trip to Vegas is going to be. I'm trying to make this fast because I don't want to stay in Vegas longer than I have to. I got Vegas'd out during the Super Bowl last year. So terminal 2, gate D15. So the United has spilled over into terminal 2 now that Alaska has moved to terminal 1. Somebody asked, am I incorrect in rushing to praise Mustafa? No, I mean, he's been good so far. Now, you got to make sure that he's ready for the prime time. A lot of safety is high floor instead of high ceiling. Got to avoid some of those coverage busts. I'm not saying that he's been making coverage busts, but the 49ers need to be sure he's not going to be fooled by Aaron Rodgers week one, which is why I think that they are more likely to play somebody like Tracy Walker III if Talanoa Hufanga is not ready to go. Your son loves George Kittle. I'm supposed to tell George Kittle that your son yells George Kittle every time he sees him, and he's only 5 years old. He also loves having slick-looking shoes. All right, if I see George tonight, and I probably should in the locker room, I'll try to let him know. Just for you. I don't think you need to worry about any players on the Raiders defense tonight. This is the preseason. The only Raiders player I've talked about is Carter Bradley because he's the starting quarterback, and I think it's interesting that he was college teammates with Darrell Luter Jr. The preseason means the 49ers need to focus on themselves and worry about their own protections, their own plays. They're not really game planning this, as I said, so there's nobody in particular to worry about on the Raiders side. Shout out to Fresno. 559. There we go. Should fly over Fresno today on the way down to Vegas. You know, I wish I had some time to go to Bavette Steakhouse at Park MGM, as this recommendation says, but unfortunately, I'm in and out. I have to go to the stadium, and then unfortunately, the game's so late, I can't fly out tonight, but I'm flying out tomorrow morning so we can get back to some post-game coverage. So you should hit that subscribe button, and we could start with that tomorrow. No, there are no concerns about Ricky Pearsall being another Jalen Hurd. Jalen Hurd was a power back in the SEC, so he put up some mileage there. Mileage accrued on his body before he turned into a receiver in the Big 12. So, and he had back issues. Back issues are tough in the sport of football. We learned that from Jalen Hurd, learned that from Dee Ford. Ricky Pearsall is dealing with a shoulder. He was extremely available in college. And he doesn't have the history of a power back. I don't see any direct comparisons there. I'm not going to play slots at the airport. I've got to head to the stadium. I have no idea why the game is so late. That's a great question. Shout out from Smyrna, Tennessee, not far from Nashville. Margo is currently about to take off from San Francisco to Nashville, which is not far from where you're going. This is Margo driving the 13 fire truck yesterday. So anyway, shout out to you. Shout out to her. And I think that we've covered this game very well. Well, I wanted to get to 49 minutes. We've gotten the 49 minutes. I have to head to the airport. 49ers Raiders coming up not too long from now. See you from Las Vegas. I'm headed off to SFO right now. Subscribe and take care.